Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McEwen, and I'll be chairing the meeting this evening. Just a couple of points before we start, though. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it off or switch it to silent or whatever it means to you. And can I ask members of the public in the gallery to refrain from commenting while the meeting is in progress. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to 5 minutes, and again, I will give them warning when there's 1 minute to go. An audio recording of this meeting is being taken and will be available to listen all over again via the website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plans, together with any other relevant planning matters. So just before we start the meeting, I'm aware that we have quite a large representation of members of the public here tonight. Who is here in reference to the Isaac Walton fishery application? Okay, and who is here for Walton Bank? All right, okay. So I think we'll take Walton Bank then first, if we may. So can we, sorry, John. So do we have any minutes to sign off from the last meeting to sign?
Yes, please, Chairman. Minutes of the 20th of December.
Yes, I wasn't here, so Tony, do you want to sign it? Okay.
I'll bring them back.
Okay, thank you. And apologies?
No, I'm received, Mr. Chairman.
Declaration of interest by any members?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I've got an interest in the one first on the agenda, 12 Sandon Road, and I won't be taking part in that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, the third one is of Walton Fisheries. I've eaten on several occasions at the Chef in the Hat restaurant there. I thought I'd better declare it because I do enjoy a meal there.
Fish.
In a tranquil setting.
Anything else? Anyone else? No? So, as I mentioned, just to confuse everyone, we're going to take the second item, Walton Bank, first. That's about okay? Can you
get
that? Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a retrospective application for the redevelopment of a farm storage site to provide 7 commercial units in 2 buildings. Units 1 and 2 are formed from the building on the western edge of the site. That's the one on the left, the left of the image. While the large building in the centre of the site forms 5 units. And you notice there's 2 of those to the north and 3 to the south, and the shaded area in the middle remains as agricultural storage and is therefore not part of this application. There is another building just outside the eastern edge of the site which is also excluded from the application, as this has previously been converted to commercial use with planning permission. There are also currently 2 shipping containers on the southeastern part of the site. That's the lighter grey in the area that goes down to the bottom right hand corner. 2 shipping containers in the southeastern part of the site used for the storage of builders' materials. However, as these introduce additional structures and are not conversions of existing buildings, they cannot be supported. The applicant has therefore removed them from the application and has stated that they will be removed from the site. Following completion of the report that you've got in front of you, a further neighbour representation has been received, which states, I've noted the additional information, amended site plan and amended location plan submitted on the 22nd of December regarding retrospective planning permission. I wish to bring to your attention the inaccuracy of the site plan and all previous versions of the plan. An extension comprising an office and toilet facility was added to the building housing units 1 and 2. This was done when the original Dutch barn was converted into industrial buildings without planning permission in 2019. The extension to the left of units 1 and 2 on the site plan goes beyond the original footprint of the barn, and I believe a septic tank was also installed. The neighbour response goes on to say it's vital that you have accurate information regarding the site and assume you will pursue this before making the decision. I therefore put this to the agent, who responded by saying that after a conversation with the applicants, it's been brought to her attention that there is a small extension to the southwest of the building. Unit 1 and 2 were converted in 2018, with this small extension comprising office and WC measuring 16 foot by 9 foot. Just looking at the agenda on page 33, you may well have noted that condition 4 doesn't have hours inserted into it, its X's. The normal hours of operation condition that we would normally impose would specify time limits of 0800 to 1800 Monday to Friday and 0800 to 1400 on Saturday. It's recommended that these hours are used in condition 4 where the X's are. And I also note that condition 5, the way that is currently worded, I don't think that's workable. It says the roller shutter doors at Unit 5 shall remain in a closed position during the business hours of operation. I don't think it's workable because the roller shutters will need to be raised to let cars in and out of the building. And therefore, I would suggest that the wording is amended to say that the roller shutter door shall remain in a closed position when any work on cars is taking place. So in other words, when the activity that creates the noise is taking place, rather than simply between 8 and 6. So it's recommended that planning permission be granted subject to the conditions listed on pages 32 to 34 of the agenda and subject to the amendments I've just stated to conditions 4 and 5. Just running through now the images. So we have 7 photos in all, starting at the northwest corner of the site. That photograph, you can see on the right hand side of it, unit 3, and then there's a breeze block wall and fence, which is the boundary with the nearest residential property, the barn conversion, which you can see part of. Image 2 is taken from further back down that. Image 2 is taken from further back down the access, so it's the same fence that you can see at the end. This picture was taken on a different date, so there are different vehicles there. But you've got the top of unit 2 on your left, and then the unit 3, which is nearest to the fence, and then the other part of the unit you can see there is part of the agricultural storage use. Image 3 shows the gable end of unit 2, and you can just about make out behind behind the right hand part of the gable, there is a looks like part of a small extension. I think that this is the extension that I've just referred to, which is, it's certainly not on the front or either end of the unit, so, and it looks like it's, you can just about see it behind the silver car. Image 4 now is looking again from that same part of the access. This is, you can see unit 1, which is the other part of the unit, the building that's occupied by units 1 and 2, and you can see the farmland to the southwest. Image 5, now this is looking at the, go back to the photo plan. So the first four related to the access at the northwestern side. We're now looking at the northeastern side of the site. So image 5 is looking in a northerly direction, which I'll show you now. And you can see unit on your left, and you can see some of the barn conversions, residential properties to the north. The next photograph is taken looking directly towards unit 5. Now on this photograph you can see the unit. You can see there is a gap, and then there is a wall, and then the garden and the barn conversion, which you can see the siding gable of, which is the same property that you saw from the other end. And then finally, image 7, this is looking to, down to the southeast of the site. The unit that's in front of you, where you can see the double row of shutter doors, that has previously been converted with planning permission, so that isn't part of this application site. And then if you look behind some of the cars, you can see a couple of yellowish coloured containers. Those are the shipping containers I referred to. They've been taken out of this application, and the applicant stated they'll be removed from the site. So, looking now at the access, you can see where the access comes off the A5013, and it provides a tarmacked access road that serves both the barn conversions, which is just above the application site, and the application site itself. You can see that in a bit more detail here, and those are the units that I mentioned. And then the remaining plans just show the same kind of layout of each of the particular units. So, Chairman, as I said, the recommendation is to approve, subject to the amendment to conditions 4 and 5.
Thank you very much. I believe we have some representations on this particular application. We have an objector and a supporter. Who wants to go first? I've got here Dr. Alison Morgan as an objector. Would you like to go first? Thank you. 3 minutes. I'll give you a nod when you have 1 minute to go. So get ready.
Thank you. I speak on behalf of the residents of Moreton Bank, and we're very disappointed with the planner's report and recommendation for retrospective planning approval for industrial units. Whilst we acknowledge that some of our concerns have been considered, the suggested mitigation measures are unworkable and the application is inaccurate and misleading, as we have heard. Furthermore, many of our concerns have been ignored, whilst the comments from the applicant seem to have been seemingly accepted without question. We object for the following reasons. The planning application and report say there are no extensions to the original buildings, and this is incorrect. We've seen that there is an office and bathroom facility built onto units 1 and 2, thereby exceeding the original footprint. This is not included in the plans or in the application. Traffic on the driveway is significantly higher than previously. Combined with an increase in pedestrians following the banning of residents on the farmland, has resulted in an increased risk to residents on the driveway. No attempt has been made by the applicant to consult with us. The site visit by planners is fleeting, and no residents have spoken to. We question how car repair businesses are part of the agricultural economy. Unit 5 specialises in fitting custom performance exhaust systems. The report compares Moreton Bank with other, quote, designated industrial allocations, which is incorrect. The development, as you can see, is too close to the properties and is creating a nuisance to residents. The signage that you saw in image 6 for unit 5, which compromises the agricultural appearance and is obtrusive. We objected to this in our objections, but this has been ignored. Businesses continue to operate during unsocial hours, and there is continued light and noise pollution and smells, which far exceed those experienced with agricultural activity. The extensive concerns raised in particular by number 12, which is the property closest to the industrial units, has not been considered.
1 minute.
There has been no response to the fire service report regarding adequate water supplies and the installation of sprinklers, and no response to comments regarding smells emanating from the fish food business, as was requested by Environmental Health. Finally, the applicant has repeatedly disregarded planning law since development began on the site, and as I said, these plans are misleading. The granting of permission by this committee would signal that such behaviour is acceptable. It is only through the actions of the residents that the applicant has been compelled to seek retrospective plan permission. The creation of an industrial estate next to our homes has had a significant detrimental impact on our lives and well-being, as well as the rural environment. We urge the committee to reject this application.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We now have the supporter, Mr. James Holt.
Could you possibly have a glass of water before I start, please?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. It's quite warm in here.
Okay.
It's very cold.
Thank you. Just to remind you, when you do begin, that's the beginning of the 3 minutes, and I'll let you know when you have 1 minute to go.
Nice and ready when you are. Good evening, everybody. The government is actively encouraging diversification to enable farmers to seek other income streams. Many farmers have already left the industry, and those of us who remain are struggling. Countryfile recently reported two-thirds of farmers have had to diversify out of necessity to survive. This is an application for a change of use of agricultural buildings. It is not industrial. The council acknowledged government policy by granting permission in 2004 and 2006, a change of use for some of my agricultural buildings for light fabrication, storage and light industrial. This application is for the remaining buildings, which were in a very poor state, no longer fulfilling the strict requirements of the combinable crop scheme, which all farmers have to adhere to. They now have a new lease of life. This council acknowledged this when they granted permission in 2021 for a new crop storage building. This will no longer be built due to it no longer being financially viable. Reinvesting into the existing buildings was much more of a viable option, resulting in much needed financial support for my family and my farming activities, whilst also supporting the local economy. The buildings have visually improved greatly, whilst maintaining their agricultural appearance, and thus, I believe, are sympathetic and respectful to the amenity of the area and in line with policy E2, supporting sustainable rural development. I've gone to great lengths to improve the site's visual aspect, the planting of many trees, and I am proud of what I have achieved. The units provide employment and services for local people. My tenants are present here tonight behind me, and they are very concerned about their livelihoods being threatened. One of my tenants, Mr. Harvey, who sat behind me, has been on site since 2004. He services farm vehicles for me, and both he and another tenant service vehicles for some of the residents.
One minute to go.
My tenants and I are extremely respectful towards the amenity of residents. The few concerns from residents have been dealt with robustly. I terminated Cypher Leisure's tenancy last July as soon as I was made aware of an odour issue. They vacated in early September last year. Working hours are strictly adhered to, and cameras monitor the site. The initial noise assessment concluded there were no noise issues of concern from the units. The expert acknowledged that the noise climate is dominated by the A5013. The planning officer confirmed when visiting unannounced that he witnessed no noise issues either. Further assessment was carried out at Unit 5 simply due to the tenant being away on holiday for the initial assessment. The council's EHO has advised no further concerns in respect of noise at this unit, subject to mitigating measures being implemented as outlined in the report prepared
now,
by the experts. In respect of lighting, all external lights are on motion sensors. To conclude, I will agree to adhere to any mitigation measures proposed in the experts' noise assessment report. Many of the other recommendations have already been implemented.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Committee.
Thank you. The presence is being called in by Councillor Peter Jones, and you wish to speak.
Indeed, I'm speaking as a ward member rather than a member of the committee.
Okay.
No, I won't be voting on that.
Five minutes, Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, I speak to you this evening following a call-in which I made following an objection by the Ecclesfield Parish Council to this application. The application is contrary to Policy E2, which states that the development should be complementary to and not prejudiced to any viable agricultural operations on a farm and other existing uses, not detrimental to the amenity of the area. It is not a designated industrial estate within the borough plan and, of course, was developed without planning permission. The residents have not been consulted at any stage. And a personal commentary, building without consent is a common tool, knowing that planning committees in general and government inspectors are loath to tear down anything which is already built. In the good old days, structures built without planning permission would be torn down. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Short and sweet.
Thank you.
Okay. We've all heard the officer report and supporter and objector and Councillor Jones. Who wants to start the ball rolling?
Jones, sorry.
Okay. Who wants to start? Don't be shy. Councillor Frank James?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we all realise now the difficulty the farming community is in, and everything's changing in the world we live in. I don't approve of extensions going on without planning permission, but I don't see a problem with this site at all.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Brycross.
Chairman, as reference was made by the objector and the local councillor about policy E2 being against it, and yet part of our report qualifies that it is in line with policy E2 of the local plan. So. I find it hard to actually oppose this proposal. Thank you.
In terms of these policies, can be a bit ambiguous, can't they? Councillor Spencer?
Mentions on page 30 about the reference for fire service. Obviously, presumably this has been built without planning permission, therefore without building regs approval. And therefore, I have a bit of a concern that had it been built to the correct standards for fire safety, do we know if that's been completed or not?
I don't know what the situation is with building control.
No. If this is planning rather than building control.
Would it not become certainly be a condition to have these met if we were to allow this?
Sorry, would it not be what?
A condition that the any fire regulations were adhered to.
No, because that is a building control matter, not a planning matter. So it would be through that process.
Okay. Any more? Being very shy this evening. So just three speakers so far. If you don't wish to comment any more, can someone make a proposal?
I propose we accept this application.
Councillor Frank James has proposed approval. Anyone wish to second that?
I'll second that, Chairman, subject to the appropriate conditions and the amendment to the conditions.
The change in the hours of operation. Yeah. Councillor Reid?
Same point, Councillor.
Yeah, the hours of operation.
I'd love to second.
And you're going to second it? Okay, it has been proposed.
I'll second it.
Okay, we've got two seconders. Okay. Oh yes, the roller shutter doors shall remain closed while operations are going on inside the building.
Can we just confirm that that's what you're recommending?
The two changes.
So we've got the time operation and then the doors can open and close, but they're closed when operations are happening inside. Right, so we've had a proposer and a seconder, so we are obliged to take a vote. All those who wish to approve this application, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Mr. Chairman.
Any against? Abstentions? 1, Councillor Spencer. Application is approved with those conditions. Thank you. We're now going to move on, I think, because there's quite a few people here who wish to speak. Listen to the Isaac Walton Fisheries. If you are leaving, please leave quietly. Okay.
Sorry, Chairman.
You could just listen up then, please. We'll leave quietly. Can you leave? Excuse me. Can you leave quietly, please? Thank you. Okay, planning application number 21-34553, Isaac Walton Fishery, new dwelling. That's everything. Sean?
Thank you. This application proposes a manager's permanent dwelling. The proposal is a single storey dwelling with double height space, and the application also includes a detached double garage, drive, and garden. There's extensive planning history relating to this site, which is detailed in the officer report. However, the more recently, planning permission was granted in 2018 for fish breeding ponds, and this permission included a temporary permission for the retention of a mobile home to be used by the fishery manager. A temporary permission was granted in order for the applicant to demonstrate that the business could develop into a viable and long-term sustainable operation. It should also be noted in relation to the planning history that Drumble House, situated to the north-east of the application site, was originally the dwelling which served the fishery. There was a restrictive condition attached to this dwelling which was removed in 2014 on the basis that there was no demand to purchase Drumble House while it remained the subject of an occupancy restriction. This was partly to do with the size of the dwelling, which was larger than deemed necessary for an agricultural business. Drumble House was consequently separated in ownership from the fishery when the fishery was acquired by the applicants in 2017. The officer report details all the key issues relating to the application. However, the main issues covered by this presentation relate to the need for the proposed dwelling in design and character. It's accepted that there is a functional need for a dwelling on site. However, it's for the applicant to demonstrate that there's an ongoing functional need and that the business is established and viable. The application is supported by an appraisal of the need for a permanent manager's accommodation to serve the fishery. The council instructed an independent assessment of the applicant's case. which concludes that the business has not sustained profitability over recent years and that the development would not comply with the NPPF. There's no demonstrable essential need for a worker to live at this site on the basis that it's not been demonstrated that there's a long-term sustainable business venture to support a dwelling of the scale proposed at the premises. The development is therefore considered to be unsustainable development. Moving on to design, it's considered that the scale of the proposed dwelling is disproportionate to the needs of a rural worker. The ridge height of the proposed dwelling is 7 metres, which is considered to be excessively high, and by reason of this height, the roof space could be utilised as further living accommodation, which would result in it being even more unaffordable for rural workers or managers, and therefore increase the likelihood of future pressure to remove any agricultural workers' tie. The conservation officer also raises objection to the application, stating that it would result in harm to the setting of Chebsey Conservation Area. So just running through the plans, we've got, first of all, plan view of the site, outlined in red. You can see the fishing pools and the access, the long access drive. We've got an aerial image showing the same area. You can see the close proximity of Chebsey Village. You can also see that it's obviously in a very rural location. We've got a total of 5 photographs across the site. The first photograph, photograph 1, is an image across the existing parking area looking towards, you can see, Drumble House just sort of behind the trees. The second photograph is an image which shows the application site, so it's where the proposed house would roughly be located. You can also see the corner sort of end of the existing mobile home on site. Photograph 3 is really just to demonstrate the open nature of the surrounding open countryside. Image 4 is a view across the application site where the proposed house would go, looking towards the existing mobile home. And finally, photo 5 shows the parking area, cafe and toilet building, and the existing mobile home. So the proposed dwelling would be situated effectively to the left of the mobile home, you can see on the site there. So the first plan, again, is a location plan. It's quite small, but the proposed dwelling is just to the left of the existing cafe toilet block, just north of the furthest fishing pool to the left. Plan 2 shows the footprint of the proposed dwelling. You can see it's fairly extensive. It takes a rough sort of H shape. There's also a proposed detached double garage to the rear. Plan 3 is the front elevation of the proposed dwelling. You'll note that whilst the dwelling is single storey, the ridge height is 7 metres and that the design features first floor glazing. Plan 4 is the rear elevation. Plan 5 and 6 are the side elevations. And plan 7 is a section through the proposed dwelling. This demonstrates the extent of the sort of potential roof space. And then finally, plan 8 is the proposed detached garage building. The application is recommended for refusal for 5 reasons, which are set out in full in the officer report, but essentially they cover the following issues. that the proposed development is outside of any defined settlement boundary, and the proposal is therefore contrary to policy C5 of the plan for Stafford Borough. Insufficient evidence has been submitted to demonstrate that it is a financially sustainable business for which there is a central need for a rural worker to live permanently on or near their place of work in this rural location. Insufficient evidence has been submitted to justify the excessive scale of the proposed dwelling. Reason 4 relates to unsympathetic design and scale of the proposed house. And the final reason relates to policy N6 of the plan for Stafford Borough, which relates to the Cannock Chase, impact on the Cannock Chase. So the recommendation is to refuse the reasons set out in the agenda.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I believe we have a supporter and an objector to this application. I'll call the objector first, Dean Jefferson. Just take the time, get yourself ready, and then ready to go. 3 minutes. And I'll let you know when you have 1 minute to go. Okay. Thank you.
The accounts that the applicants have provided apparently show that the business has been trading at a loss since its outset. It's difficult to see how such a loss-making enterprise can sustain the building cost and any possible mortgage repayments that would be required for such a huge building. The building as proposed is in almost the exact same location as a previously denied application for a fishing pond. The development is essentially below ground, unobtrusive and practically invisible, which is ultimately rejected due to its impact on the local conservation area. I find it hard to comprehend how such a tall and oversized building could be an acceptable addition to the landscape when the ground level pool is not. Coarse fishing, it seems, is a declining industry, and accordingly, Isaac Walton Fishery seemingly provides little in the way of revenue to support this proposed dwelling. Further, the unauthorised restaurant which the proposed building must also rely upon for income is leased to a third party and thereby can only provide a reduced revenue. However, the third party have stated on their Facebook page that they will be leaving this March as their business apparently makes little profit. The loss of this third party income abrogates even this somewhat curtailed avenue of cash flow. Clearly, the income stream upon which this dwelling will depend is precarious at best, and it's difficult to see how the business itself can be supported. There is therefore a high risk that the business will become, if it isn't already, unsustainable, and any approved housing would become essentially orphaned and of little use. I would like to point out that when the applicants purchased the fishery, they were aware that there was no integral dwelling. The building they are now proposing is far too big for the purpose allowed within the planning requirements. That is sufficient for an on-site manager.
Okay, you have 1 minute.
Not a huge H-shaped rambling mansion. However, one suspects that this is the ultimate aim, to construct a large family home in the countryside in which to retire, along with extended family, unencumbered by other obligations. The applicants have ignored planning conditions and in addition have turned what used to be a vibrant and lush environment to the on the edge of a conservation area into something that now resembles a set of bomb craters. You can see the felled trees lining the unlawfully paved track. The building of new homes in the countryside is against policy. This is not allowed within the planning permissions for this site. I believe that the committee should refuse this application, just as they previously refused the fishing pond in a prior application. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well timed. We have a supporter, Tricia Taylor. Make yourself comfortable and then start when you're ready. I'll give you a nod when you have 1 minute.
Before purchasing the fishery, the planning department was approached regarding requirements needed for a permanent home on site. As this is a vital need, We were informed we had to meet the required criteria and to put forward a pre-application, and was also advised to go for a temporary dwelling, which is the caravan, to see how the business grew and in which we have resided for 7 years. Over 6 years, we have turned a neglected fishery into a profitable business, increasing profits yearly despite COVID. Profits of £30,000 yearly for the last 2 years are recorded. Our accountant is happy to produce facts. Our architect took a file from your design advisor on the guidelines to work within. Our initial plans 3 years ago were based on the previously permitted manager's property, but slightly smaller and located in a less prominent location. Of the recommendations, the current proposal is significantly reduced in size, a single storey with an agricultural look, and in keeping with both our hatchery and our site refreshments building. The council's report still refers to part to the original proposal. Fish theft is rife, with the average cost of one of our hand-reared fish being approximately £300. Diggers and machinery are also a target. We have caught people coming into the fishery whose intention was to steal or to do damage. The Midwest report stated that once a hatchery is built, there is a need for a person to live on site. The hatchery exists and has been in operation for 4 years. We need 24/7 monitoring of our ponds and hatchery stock, which numbers over 3,000 hatchlings. We have to monitor and rapidly respond to failures in electrical supply, pumps, filters, heating and feeding. Any interruption to these services will have a disastrous consequence if swift appropriate action is not taken. Someone mentioned that there have been houses available in Chester. However, as the crow flies, the villages are some fields away and a lot further by car.
1 minute.
Staff need to be on site constantly to monitor and to react to issues that affect the health, welfare and security for all. The Midwest Planning Report insists that this must be the case. The fishery has been a force for all good for local people, offering a popular leisure facility, interacting with local schools as well as bringing visitors to the local area, possibly impacting on the local economy. We started this journey 7 years ago with engagement advice from lots of people, including Borough Council planning team. We have faced lots of challenges and have demonstrated our determination to succeed by using 600,000 of our own money to operate and repair the site, ensuring the good of this community and fishery. We are proud of our achievements over the last 7 years and would hope staff of Borough also by supporting our planned application for a permanent home. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Peter Jones, you have called this application in.
Chairman, yes, I shall speak as a ward member and not voting on the issue.
Thank you. When you're ready.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, I speak to you this evening in regard to the Isaac Walton Fisheries Planning Application, which I call in on behalf of Chevesey Parish Council, who objected to it. The reason for the call-in was accurate at the time of the call-in, but during the years that have passed since the application was submitted, the size and design of the proposed property has changed considerably and often. However, in the 72 pages of the officer's report, it would seem that they not only object to the size and type of the property proposed, but to the very idea of any property being added to the site. Had this been made clear at the outset, then perhaps much time and money could have been saved. The principle of rural accommodation has been accepted generally in the UK, but the content of the report largely support the fact that Isaac Walton Fishery do not qualify on a number of grounds. The history of the property shows that planning permission was granted for the building of a 5-bedroom house on the property by the previous owner who lived in it and managed the site in 1996. When the fisheries were sold to Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, the applicant, the house was not included as part of the property, although initial planning permission was granted on the understanding that the house was to be used as rural accommodation. Paragraph 211 of the report, it's clear that the functional need for a rural worker to live at or near the fishery was established and accepted in the granting of planning permission 172725FUL. The paragraph also includes requirements that the applicant demonstrates that the proposal is required to meet the ongoing functional need that the business is established and viable, that the size of the development would be commensurate with the needs of the business, and that the dwelling would be funded solely through the business. In the opinion of the planners, these requirements have not been met. My concern is for the future of this amenity, given that there is a need for rural accommodation, but the other recommendation, the other requirements may never be met and that the fishery closes. A site visit may help the members to appreciate the facilities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, and as always, the final decision is left with you all.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Thank you. Sit there. Right, you've heard all the supporters, objectors, and the planning officer. Who wants to start? Councillor Kenny.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to, with the business plan going forward, it's difficult to say what's going to happen, what isn't going to happen, what is projected. I think it's obviously moving forward in a positive direction. My only concern, well, my concern is in the shared road, is the size of the actual dwelling. I have personally no objection to there being a dwelling there, but the actual size of the dwelling is too large.
Which is part of the officer report. Mm. Yeah. Did someone indicate over there? Councillor Frank James?
Yeah, I think we should recognise that this business has been operating for now 6 to 7 years. On my own knowledge, I've never been on the site, so I don't know it, and that's why I think I'm going to recommend we have a site visit to go and have a look. I accept what the officers are saying, and I agree with Councillor Kent. It's perhaps too large for the site, and perhaps if we went out and have a look, we'd all have better indication what was going on there.
Anyone? Councillor Spencer?
I agree with Councillor Kenny thinking that this is by far the scale is far too large for its purpose and its setting. Even if it was half that size, it would probably still be too great a scale of its size and its layout. I sort of also agree with the planners that it could easily be converted into a two-storey building and even split into further buildings with a subsequent planning application and sold off as two dwellers, even three dwellers, bearing in mind the size of that garage. So, yeah, I have great concerns with this scale.
I'll take on board Councillor Frank James' possibility of a site visit. I'm not sure it would give us any greater knowledge than what we already have, but. Councillor Reid?
I support the comments of the councillors on the scale of the development proposed. I'm not clear on the financial information made here and used as part of the decision. I'm not quite clear. I keep hearing contradictions about the viability of business. It's lost at the period up to the year end in March 2031, I would guess, would have been quite a tough trading period to base your decision on. But what I heard was that there's quite a negative expectation about the business, but is that fair to say?
I noticed
it was unaltered as accounts. Again, I'm not sure what that means.
I think this is the report by the independent
assessor. We had an independent consultant provide us with his assessment of the accounts and the appraisal that the applicant had submitted. So that is summarised within the report, and some of the figures are there. And obviously he concluded that the business wasn't financially sustainable moving forward to support a permanent dwelling on site.
Kenny?
Yeah, not sure whether it takes into consideration that a business like that would be more viable if the owners, assume it's the manager, if the applicant, if they were living on site in that dwelling, it would make taking on the whole business more viable because they've got actually somewhere to live. And then we would require less of an income. And it's no different from times in the past where you have agricultural firms providing for farmers, etc. But the actual accommodation is taken into consideration with their salaries.
The applicant is currently living on site, obviously in the mobile home, which I think was shown on the photographs. And it's quite a normal process, if you like, that we would normally only agree something temporary. So when that temporary mobile home was granted, obviously we are not in a position to support something unless the applicant can prove that it's financially sustainable and keep moving forward.
Thank you. Councillor Spencer?
Again, talking about financial viability, I mean, it states, I mean, the build costs of such a property is going to be, I would say, quite substantial without a significant mortgage contribution. Where's that money coming from? And to build this property the size it is, I would say it's probably more than what a house nearby to the area would cost to buy. And I wonder, where is this money coming from to build the property? If the money is there to build the property, why isn't the money there to purchase a property nearby and maybe install some sort of 24-hour security or some sort of monitoring devices for the business? I'm a bit confused over the financials here, that this building this property can be is viable, yet buying the property isn't.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Frank James?
Just to say that to buy, I think we've had it pointed out to us, I do know the fishery at night, they have to have security, and the fisheries now are open for all sorts of vandalism and all sorts of things can happen. Somebody needs to be on site. I agree that the property they put in is too large for that site. It should be perhaps put in a smaller site. But to say we're going to try and destroy a business, I think it's very sad.
Correct.
Thank you. Councillor Phillips.
I'm not sure I necessarily agree that we're trying to destroy a business, but I find it very interesting that we agreed for a mobile home to be used as residential accommodation by the fishery manager, but we're talking about the applicant intending on building this premises, and from what I gather, the applicant is also the fishery manager, is that correct?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So has any discussions taken place about what's going to happen when the owners, fishery managers, decide to retire? What are we then left with? Are we left with a property that has somebody living in it that's not associated to the business any longer? Are we then left with a property that a manager is then not able to live in because they're not associated to the property? Where would we stand?
So normally this type of dwelling would be restricted with an agricultural tie, so there would be a condition that would specify that only the fisheries manager should be living within that property. So I think in my presentation I mentioned Drumbull House, which is just to the north of this site, which was originally part of the fishery. That had an agricultural tie, and due partly to the size of the house, that house couldn't be sold because of the agricultural tie, and nobody with on a sort of rural worker's pay could afford to live in a house of that size. Therefore, after I think more than one application, the tie was eventually removed and the house was segregated from the fishery. So that's where the concern lies, that even if a tie is attached to a planning permission, there could be pressure further down the line if the business folded or somebody else was to come in to take it. Would that be an affordable house for a rural worker?
Or is it a retirement property?
Councillor Nixon?
I think that's the crux of the matter. It should be affordable for a rural worker. And looking at the design and the size of this, I don't think it could be said it could be affordable for a rural worker, agricultural, fishery, or any other worker. That's my point of view. It is. I wouldn't say it's a mansion, but it's certainly a big property.
In the sense that one or two people have concerns about the size and impact of this in the area.
And its use is more difficult to put.
Councillor Gath-Jones.
I would agree with Councillor Nixon that that is my concern as well. It seems to be totally inappropriate.
So the size and design is of concern?
Yeah.
Anyone wish to speak or make a proposal? Councillor Phillips?
I've read this with great depth. I've listened to what everybody's had to say, and I would love to be able to move away from the officer's recommendations, but I just can't. I feel that the recommendations that the officers have made have been very well documented, very in depth, and and obviously having an independent assessor brought in as well, I feel like I'm going to have to propose that we go with the officer's recommendation.
You're proposing refusal?
Yeah.
In accordance with the officer report?
I'm afraid so.
Did anyone want to second that, Councillor Jones?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Seconded by Councillor Gath-Jones. So proposal is to refuse for the reasons set out by the officer report. All those who wish to refuse, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Mr. Chairman.
Any against?
2 against.
Okay. Thank you. The application is refused. Okay. If you wish to leave the meeting, please do so quietly, as we have another item to deal with.
Shame on the lot of you.
Thank you. If you could leave quietly, please. Thank you. Okay, right. Planning application 2338168, 12 Sandon Road, Stafford. John?
Thank you, Chairman. This is a Section 73 application, which is to amend an existing planning permission. Planning permission in this case is 2331584, and the amendments are sought to conditions 2 and 5 of that planning permission. Conditions 2 and 5 relate to drawings and also visibility display on the access. You'll see from the report that the changes are relatively small scale and relate to the access being repositioned 1.5 metres to the south, the building nearest to the access having its porch removed and the footprint slightly enlarged, and the repositioning of two car parking spaces on the site. The principle of the development has already been established by Planning Permission 2331584, and whilst this application proposes amending conditions 2 and 5 of the Planning Permission, if it's approved by committee, it would result in a new Planning Permission being issued, incorporating those change conditions together with other previous conditions, but the time period would be carried forward from the previous permission. In other words, it wouldn't be a new 3-year period starting now, it would be the remainder of the 3-year period that's already been granted. And that's the legal requirement to do it that way. What I would draw your attention to is the planning balance and conclusion section on page 15, which I think sums up the situation with this applicant, with this application, and what matters can be considered in the determination of it. It's recommended that the application be approved subject to a deed of variation to the section 106 agreement that form part of planning permission 33158. In other words, that would link the 106 agreement on that previous permission to a new permission and to the conditions listed in the report. We look now at the images. We can see the site there, situated with two frontages, one to Sandon Road, one to Marsden Road. It's the former Treeview site, which has been vacant for quite a few years now. So there are six photographs. If we start on the Marsden Road and work round clockwise, so first one, oh sorry, and I should point out, these photographs were taken in 2021 and they relate to when the previous application was brought to committee. I did look at taking more up-to-date photographs, but the buddleia and various other shrubs are somewhat more overgrown now, and they would actually obscure some of the things you could see in the photographs if you did that. So I think it's better to stick with what these photographs are, and these are the ones that you considered, or the previous committee considered at the time. So this is Marsden Road looking north. The application site is basically behind the railings. The second photograph is still on Marsden Road, but this time looking in a southeasterly direction. So the site starts where those bins are put out, where the lamppost is, and goes up where the railings are to the gable end wall of the pub, of the curtilage of the pub. We've moved around now to Sandon Road. This is a view of the site. You can see the shrubbery behind the boundary wall of number 16 Sandon Road. So you're looking at the gap between 16 and the flats that are number 20 Sandon Road. Then this is the frontage onto Sandon Road. So looking in a southwesterly direction. As you can see, most of the site is hard surfaced. Certainly this is the former parking area. The next one shows within the site, and again it's looking up towards Marsden Road, which is what you can see in the background. You see the same part of the same parking area, and where the buddleia and other stuff is growing on the right hand side, that's the footprint of the former building, and that's sort of basically filled in rubble, it's not tarmac, and hence why the shrubbery is growing through it. And then finally taken in a northwesterly direction, again it's the same entrance, same frontage Sandon Road, but then you can see a bit more of the site and where all that shrubbery is. That was a large building, and you can see on this photograph elements of the walls that remained at that point in time. Moving on, location plan shows it between the two roads. So colour doesn't quite show as well as it does on the laptop, but this is the amended plan that you're being asked to consider. So where the access is onto Marsden Road, that's 1.5 metres south of the original. It's basically realigned rather than repositioned. And I'll show you the existing permission in a minute. So then immediately south of that is units 1 to 3, which is part single story, part two story. That did have a porch on it before, that which has now been removed, but the footprint's been slightly increased. Then the other main difference is that there are now two parking spaces to the north of that through road, so it's the two together. I can't find them, but
It's the two together, just as where the road curves on the left, northwest of the road. So if you compare that with what has permission at the moment, you'll see the road is at a different angle, basically, from Marsden Road. The two parking spaces that are now northwest of the road were south of it before, and the alignment of the road has changed, and that's basically the difference. So this is the previous the existing consent for units 1 to 3, and you can see on the porch, small porch, which is at the top of the floor plan, and on the amended plan, no porch. There's also a change in that a window becomes patio doors, and as I say, the footprint changes by, I think, 0.4 metres in one direction and 0.6 of a metre in another direction. So, as I say, the planning balance and conclusion section basically gives you what the significant issues are with this application. I don't consider issues arise from these amendments that would result in a justification to recommend refusal of the application. Therefore, subject to a deed of variation to the 106 agreement and to the conditions listed in the report, it's recommended the application be approved. Thank you. Thank you very much, John. We have no speakers on this, but we do have Councillor Godfrey, who is going to speak. You know the rules.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everybody. Treated this as a new application, of which of course it is, so please bear with me. Proximity to night food outlets, public house, and the public house is objected as well, very near the prison, in an area with more than its fair share of special needs accommodation and services, also very close to a very busy road junction and mini roundabout. Now these are the issues you should be thinking about tonight. The aforementioned mini roundabout is already a dangerous feature in the area. It is not only a roundabout, it's also a unique road layout that catches drivers out and can cause road traffic incidents. This new application moves the entrance nearer to the roundabout. The only access to and from the site is the one-way Marsden Road. There are no speed reduction measures between mini roundabouts and the proposed entrance. And I believe the planning departments have seen pictures of recent incidents on the roundabout. The increase in traffic movements of employees and related visitors to the development will only increase the risk of accidents, and the increased use at day and night of traffic from the development will also increase noise nuisance for local residents. The proposed use of the development is also not appropriate for the area. As mentioned, the area has late night takeaways, public houses and other retail outlets in close proximity. It also has a very well established local residents community who have concerns with this development that will upset their day-to-day working. As pointed out by other objectors, and I'm sure you've seen some of the objections in the report, property owners are concerned about the effect the new building will have on their houses. Please remember this application is being made because the original application design was miscalculated, and the discrepancy meant the original application was going to be built on someone that was not owned by the applicant. The new application moves the building closer to existing properties with more loss of light, privacy and fear that the construction process, pile driving etc., will severely damage their homes and make future maintenance to their homes nearly impossible. Please take into account the age of these buildings and the damage construction can cause. There is also concern that the number of units proposed, 10, seems to be too many for the size and shape of the plot. If it was your house, you'd be concerned. The proposed development has caused a great deal of worry to residents, as you can probably imagine. As everyone on this committee knows, the area floods nearly every time there's a heavy rainfall. Buildings of this scale will only make the risk of flooding greater. The drainage system is basically Victorian, and the extra strain put on this aged system may make overloads and floodings worse than they already are. The size and scale of the development is also a concern. Those of you who know the area will know the existing buildings are small and all in keeping with the historic area. The design of the proposed development is unimaginative and far too big for this area. As you will have read from the reasons for the call-in, one of my concerns is the inappropriateness of the development in the historic area of Staffordshire, not just Stafford. This is the heart of the shoemaking industry in Stafford, and the existing buildings are the original cobblers' cottages and workshops. Many of the local people and history organisations are hoping this area will become a conservation area. Protecting the buildings and the heritage of the area should be a priority. Too many buildings, like the Sandonia just down the road, are under threat. This will totally out of proportion, wrong design and in the wrong place, and for the wrong use. In conclusion, this proposal is out of character, has an inappropriate end use for the area, will increase traffic movements in an already busy area, has close proximity to day and night businesses, being proposed in an area already used for social care and special needs care, and may affect the chances of this historic part of Stafford becoming what it should be, and that is a conservation area. For all those reasons, I ask the committee to look at this anew and refuse the application.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Jones.
I was on the planning committee when this was approved not so long ago. And I think we're not here tonight, I don't think, to go back as though that approval hasn't existed. We're looking at a modification to an approved application. And I don't think from the presentation and from my reading of this, that I don't see that as a major controversial issue. In fact, I would propose that we do accept this application and approve it on the basis that it is a reasonably well argued proposal to an already approved application.
Okay, we'll just see if there's any more speakers. Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. I didn't sit on this original application, and I think had I done, I would have been not overly impressed at the siting of the particular use of the site and where it's positioned. I think it's the wrong place for the wrong thing, but we're here. The concern that I have over the entrance changing, I know the display originally was 53 metres. It's been reduced to 49. Is this going to affect things like fire engines, ambulances, being able to turn into that entrance now?
No, visibility display is the distance you can see from the junction. It's not the radius of the junction.
Forgive me, I didn't explain.
No, it doesn't well. Affect whether is you can turn in or out. No.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Kenny?
Can I just question that we are only considering the amendment?
The application is to amend two conditions on the planning permission, so that's the application you're considering, basically.
Okay.
Not the whole principle of it, yes.
Councillor Spencer?
So, if this was not approved, does that mean the planning application would not go through, or would it just come back with additional considerations? If this was not approved, these two conditions,
yeah.
What impact would that have on the scheme?
It's an interesting question, because in the design and access statement, the applicant says they've amended this because of land ownership, on the which is effectively on this area here. But the access road wasn't on the land outside the application site anyway, so I don't quite understand why they need to do that, but that's what they've chosen to do, that's what we're considering. So, on what I know, on the information that I have, I don't see why they can't implement the existing permission. So, it might be there's another reason, but it doesn't seem that access is a different angle, as you can see. And the way it's done, it comes down and then it swings around a bit. But it doesn't go outside what the red edge was before or now. So I would have thought they could probably implement that. So if hypothetically you refuse this, they could potentially still build that.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just ask a quick question? Is it not to do with the land ownership?
Sorry?
Is it not to do with the land ownership, who actually owned the land and the original application?
Well, what the design access statement is saying is that an error was made on the original application in terms of that boundary. Now, the boundary has changed there, but what you can see on the site now still doesn't reflect that shape. It's a different shape to that. So I don't know exactly where the boundary is. In planning terms, as long as you've served notice on the owner, that's fine. It may well be that they've served notice and then the owner of the land says, no, you can't have my land, and frustrate the development. That might be where they're coming from. But in both ways, I can't see why the ownership that they show makes a difference to either of these applications.
In terms of the land ownership then, was there, which certificate was submitted?
Well,
who wanted to speak? Someone over there? Do you want to go?
I mean, we're talking about, in my world, about 5 foot when we move this entrance. If I remember rightly, the entrance is virtually next to a slope that goes down next to a curtain shop, if I remember rightly. Mm-hmm. I was, like Councillor Jones, I was on the original committee when this was discussed, and it was discussed at length, and I thought we'd allayed most of the fears of the residents by the appropriate action, like certain windows were going to be screened, so the dog overlook, etc. And I mean, the increase in the footprint of blocks 1 to 3 is what, 0.6 metres. What's that, about 2 foot?
2 foot, yeah.
You know, so I feel I have no reason to go against this, and I'll second Councillor Jones's proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation as printed.
Thank you. So I've got an excerpt from the design statement that talks about the land ownership boundary, and it points out that what they're showing now is the actual boundary line, and it suggests that a different line was shown on the approved drawings, but that wasn't what was on the final plans that the committee saw. Anyway, it's virtually the same boundary as this, so as I say, I think that could be implemented anyway. But
thank you. Councillor Reid?
Just for the, given Councillor Godfrey's concerns, for example, about the highways report locally, was there any discussion or questioning of the original highways report made?
Well, Marston Road is a single directional road going north from the mini roundabout, and before. So the amount of traffic that would use this development is the same as before, because it's the same number of units and the same staff. So the difference is that whereas before there was 53 metres visibility looking to the left.
And that's above the 43 that's recommended.
And it's gone from 53 to 49, but the highway standard's 43, so it's above right. That in any case.
Yes. It's just that locally there's that really pretty dangerous roundabout that exists. There's a kind of local problem there anyway, outside of this plan.
So, Councillor Phillips?
It says about approving it following the conditions, I believe, that were previously recommended. Number 16 says to safeguard the occupiers of nearby residential properties from undue noise and general disturbance. One of my concerns about this application, and I know that this the specifics of this application has already been agreed, but given that there are so many problems that residents on the Marston Road at the other end have been experiencing from other buildings that have similar occupants, what is it that we can do to safeguard the residential properties from undue?
So I think what you just read out was the reason 16 rather than condition 16, which is on the previous page. Condition 16 is limiting the hours of construction work and delivery.
Yeah, it's on the page 21, my apologies.
Yeah, the condition's on page 20 and the reason's on page 21.
Any more conclusions?
Can I say what I normally say at this point? I notice there's an island, a traffic island, and the highways have no objections. It always makes me nervous.
Are there any thoughts on whether we could request some traffic calming in that area? Councillor Kenny?
It's very difficult to deviate from the planning permission that's already been given. That decision's been taken and made in the past, and I feel that if we were to go against this, that we'd lose it a bit.
Councillor Spencer, then Councillor Phillips, I believe.
To me, I think the only reason we're actually seeing this now is potentially some sort of ransom strip style argument that we've been drawn into and it's been coming to planning. And I agree with Councillor Kenny and Councillor Cross that there are no issues with the support on this.
It has been proposed and seconded, I believe. Sorry, Councillor Phillips, did you want to say anything before?
I apologise for my previous error, but taking the construction works aside, what are we doing to safeguard the local residents from noise? I mean, we've had planning applications before us in the last few months of a similar size.
Page 19, item 10 covers
noise.
Are you referring to the certain accommodation?
Absolutely.
That's condition 10, Chairman. Occupation of proposed development shall not take place until a comprehensive noise management plan has been submitted to and approved and granted by the council. The noise management plan must adopt measures to ensure that undue disturbance is not caused to nearby residents from noise generated by service users of the proposed development.
Who else? Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, had this been a fresh new planning application, then we could discuss the different aspects on whether it's right or wrong, but it's not.
Okay, so has been proposed and seconded, I believe. If you could remind me who the proposer and seconder was.
I've
Councillor Jones and Councillor Cross to approve the application Please show if you agree.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Mr. Chairman.
The application is approved.
Do you want to check
for any abstentions? Any abstentions? Anyone abstaining? 1, 2. 2 abstentions. Welcome back. Okay, we move on to page 73, appeals. Appeal by Prince Avenue Horton, that's been lodged. And we also have a decided appeal for 76 bedroom care home residence on Canical Road, which the appeal has been allowed. No costs have been awarded. Anyone want to comment at all?
Can you just mention the Scant Road again? Because I see in the local papers, is this the one that the inspector's gone against us?
Yes.
Just wondered if it's the same size.
And just before we close, can I just remind members about call-ins? And if you make a call-in for whatever reason, and then you receive a message or communication from planners indicating which way they're going to go, whether to refuse or approve an application, can you ensure that you respond to the officers in a timely manner to say whether you want to keep the call in or withdraw it? Because as in my absence last month, we had a 10-minute meeting because the call in had not been withdrawn. So I do intend to write to all members of the council along those lines, but I think it's beholding on all of us to ensure that we don't waste officer time. It's already precious enough as it is.
I was asked today to withdraw, and I did withdraw.
Yes.
I think perhaps you should educate the rest of the council more than this committee.
I do intend to write to everyone, but I thought I'd share it with you first of all.
Chairman, I was asked to withdraw both of mine, and I refused.
Yeah, well, as long as you communicate.
I thought you were going to go at me then.
No, if you said no, I want to keep my calling, that's fine. But those occasions where there is no response,
call anything again, Mark,
that's the problem. Okay, thank you very much. We've finished at 8 o'clock. Well done.